Hello everyone, and welcome to the 24th episode of the Connectivity Podcast. I'm Mattias Fridström, and I've spent the last 25 years inside the connectivity community. In this pod, we invite guests to deep dive into one or many subjects to simply learn more about connectivity. And in this 24th episode, I will continue to talk to Funke Opeke from MainOne. You mentioned that the hyperscalers are also starting to build submarine cables or participate in submarine cable builds to Africa. Have you seen them on land as well, starting to build data centers as well, like they've done in Europe and North America?
Not in West Africa. I believe one of the hyperscalers has tried to build in South Africa.
Yeah.
However, I think the strategy to date has been to source capacity from local players. And I also believe that has foiled the entry that we see of global data center players into the African continent within the past 12 months to try to work with local companies to build out capacity to meet the needs of the hyperscalers as they take more interest in the continent. So we don't see a lot of data center builds directly by the hyperscalers yet. And the scale at which they have built in other markets, again, it tends to be orders of magnitude higher than we're currently seeing in African markets, where a 10 megawatt facility or a 50 megawatt facility would be a large facility. And to hyperscalers in advanced markets, I don't think they're building things less than hundreds of megawatts. And so there is a big difference.
Yeah, no, you're probably right there. I guess you haven't really seen them also coming in and stealing your resources as well, because I think what they're doing in many other places is, of course, they're attracting our people that have built networks, that can run networks. I guess over time, they will also come and establish themselves as companies in countries around you and your country. And then you obviously have to fight getting your people to stay on your side.
I mean, we have had even some of that already. Some of our talent emigrating from Nigeria to work for some of these global companies as they plan their strategies and entries into Africa. Yes, so indeed, it is a mixed bag. But again, we benefit ultimately from the opening up of the continent and for an expansion of the digital pie. So it is a balance, you know, between the competition for talent, obviously competition for market, and, you know, share of wallet of consumers. However, our market still has significant room for growth, and we are market leaders in several segments and have built service relationships with our customers who have confidence. And now we are plugged into the global Equinix family and integrating our data centers into that fabric, which gives customers globally access to West Africa and also gives West African businesses access to global markets. So we think there's still significant room for growth for our business, and the global cloud service providers will want to be a part of our ecosystem as well. They already are, and we think there's a lot of benefits, even with they building out their infrastructure, that they will get from continuing to access the ecosystem that we built that goes beyond the places in which they will have a presence.
Yeah, no, that sounds really good as well. At the moment, as we've spoken about, there is a lot of international sea cables being planned and actually started being built. Do you think there's a risk of oversupply in the next coming years, or do you think we will absolutely consume all bandwidth that's being built on these 8 cables quite quickly?
I think there's oversupply already.
Yeah.
So definitely oversupply. Mm-hmm. But I think it's the nature of the supply, and the global cloud service providers want to be vertically integrated and come as close to the large markets as they can and have that infrastructure wholly under their control. And I think that's what we're seeing. And then I think the markets are also different. Some parts of the continent may not be as well served or may need additional capacity. And if you're building, then you build to serve all the markets just because you are passing by this large market. So I think some of it is opportunistic. Mm-hmm. But definitely, I think when you look at the technology of submarine cables today and what is being deployed, likely consumption capacity of those cable systems suggests there will be a huge surplus.
Another thing you mentioned and you talked about, and I was very impressed by that, is your thought about sustainability. Sometimes I feel that, sustainability comes as number 8 in the priority list, but it feels like you already have it up there. How do you see this development in your country and in Africa as a whole? Is sustainability important, or is it all about just now building and connecting as many as possible as soon as possible?
To be honest, sustainability has not been on the agenda of most businesses in the telecom or technology space. And I think initially, and probably even to date, it's just about how quickly you can build and how fast you can connect as many eyeballs. I used to say that a lot of it was infrastructure-driven competition. However, I think with what's going on around the world today, there is greater awareness of the need to consider sustainability. And what you also have are that the global players coming into the continent have a sustainability agenda. And so in order for them to operate in Africa, and that becomes part of their portfolio, sustainability of that footprint needs to be considered as well. So it's slowly getting there. But there are fundamental issues in markets, especially like Nigeria, where power from the grid is a challenge. For us, we have been opportuned in that our infrastructure does not have the reach and does not need to have the reach that the mobile operators, for example, have, having to build base stations in rural areas where almost inevitably, power supply is very poor. And so they are running on generators, diesel generators, almost all the time. There's been some attempts to harness solar technology or greener technologies, and some smaller internet service providers that we work with are able to do that successfully. But I must say that the sustainability agenda still needs a lot of work.
Okay. Yeah, no, I can imagine that. I think one thing that we haven't talked about so far, and I think in these days you always have to consider and think about, we're now 2 years into a pandemic, COVID-19. How do you view that? Has that changed anything for your company and your country in terms of how they consume your services?
Yes, it has. COVID-19 certainly accelerated the consumption of connectivity services, because all of a sudden we are socially distanced and isolated. And with all the various lockdowns, business life continued and shifted primarily online if you had that access.
Yep.
So clearly an increase in communications. Also, as you go online more, as you go online with smartphones, there is access to the global platforms and cloud technology. And a lot of the global players do not have significant footprint in Africa, which is another reason driving these submarine cables. I expect once these cables land, then we'll start to see more of their content come onto the continent. We do have some, but nearly not enough of the services they provide have a footprint on the continent. So what we've seen with COVID today is really an acceleration on the connectivity side. And on the data center side, to be honest, with logistics issues and supply chain issues over the past few years, the growth in terms of deployment has not been as great. But we're starting to see a lot of the conversations take place now that will bring much more content and services to the continent. A lot of global players have also taken notice of the African market, given the surge they have seen in African consumers during the pandemic period. And so the market is becoming more interesting. Netflix is available locally. Spotify is available locally. A lot of other services that were previously not available are now available to populations on the African continent, and the platforms are looking to get closer to the eyeballs. So we expect the data center space is also positioned for a surge.
Yeah, that sounds great. And I can just echo that because we also see that as a global carrier, we can see that there is a larger interest for traffic to and from Africa among our customers as well. So that's really, really good. One of the reasons I started this podcast was I felt that people really didn't understand how connectivity worked and that there were actually networks behind the cloud and everything. Do you feel that is one of your challenges as well on your market, that you need to explain to people that there is the network is quite complicated and it's hard to build, and therefore, yeah, it is challenging to run these type of networks. And do you feel that people understand that, or does everyone take everything for granted like they sometimes do up here?
Yes, I mean, it's certainly in our markets, everyone takes everything for granted. And when the primary means of communication you've had is through a mobile phone, you think either the call goes through or it doesn't go through. So why is my video call freezing? And not understanding the different layers of connection and services behind that call, I think is just part of the challenge. Or accessing any kind of content or application online from the last mile to the local backhaul, to the access to perhaps edge nodes in country, international submarine, to a host data center that could be in any part of the world, and having all that data come back. I don't think people really understand the interplay of the different technologies. Perhaps they don't need to. I guess that's our job as service providers, to take care of all that plumbing and ensure that the customers of our clients, because we are not directly servicing a lot of end users, we're servicing businesses, have a good experience, and that the businesses that we work with are able to deliver that good experience to their end consumers.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. In some way, it's our job to do that behind the scenes for them. But in sometimes I just feel that they should appreciate what we do a bit more. But that's probably my view.
I am sure everyone in operations and customer experience in Main One will say the same thing. But nonetheless, they are customers, and we continue to work to give them everyone wants. And you know, in today's environment, we expect 100% availability. We don't want to go make a payment or have to look up a medical record or something and not have it available instantly. We just take it for granted.
Yeah, no, I think you're very right there. Okay, if we now think about sort of the next steps for Africa and the next steps for Nigeria, what do you see in the coming years for the data center market in Africa, and especially West Africa? What's going to happen?
I see a lot more content, global and local content, I think having world-class data centers here that are well-connected globally says that African entrepreneurs, African entertainment have the opportunity to provide services on a global scale. Global providers also have the same opportunity into Africa, that African consumers will consume more data. It will become more affordable, as just with scale and economies of scale. I hope that brings about increased productivity, which would impact the economic development of Africa. Africa has a large youth population, and unemployment rates are much higher than in other parts of the world. Truly hopeful that as our populations move from what we have now, which is a largely resource-based economy, to a knowledge-based economy with the availability of access to information, access to services online, because they do have the internet and they have the choices and it is affordable, that it would bring about greater prosperity for all Africans.
Yeah. And now I guess we're reaching the end of this conversation, which has been great. And I'm so happy I've received so many good answers. But just a final question. You now have new owners. What do you think that's going to change for Main One? Or will you just become who you are and just continue as you were with some guidance from Equinix? Or how do you see your future?
Yes, indeed, continuing as Main One, an Equinix company, is the strategy for right now. We will continue to get to know our new parent, and they would continue to understand our market and our operations. But the immediate near-term strategy is to accelerate growth and continue to do more of what we're doing, and also to bring the services that they have in their global portfolio into Africa. So we have to achieve that. I think that's going to be the agenda for a couple of years. And then when we get to that point, we'll figure out what's next. But we look to be building more data centers across the region and rolling out new products and services that are available globally that interconnect all of Equinix's data centers and customers with our data centers and customers here in West Africa.
All right. Sounds like you have a bright future there. So Funke, thank you very much for participating here. It's been super interesting to hear you.
Thank you, Matthias. Have a good day.
Thanks everyone for listening. We will soon be back with a new guest, so please follow us on Twitter, ConnectivityPod, for updates. Stay tuned until next time.